12:02. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. 5 hour midnight ride. That's right, all the way till 5 a.m. and the warm up show. Me and you till then. We got Paulie on the other side messing with the volume. Here it is, up and down. There we go. It's rather loud. There's Fliegelman trying to understand what the hell Paul is doing back there. Nobody does. Mike, don't feel bad. And it's me and you at 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. You know, stop. Jeez. Would you stop putting it so loud? I can't hear. I'm not sure what the number is anymore. All right, 1203. And I'm pissed at Charlie Blackman. Charlie Blackman, I'm watching the Red Sox with the bases loaded. That's what kind of nut Yankee fan I am. I didn't think when the Yankees were the first team to 50 wins, I'd be sitting here on now July 23rd watching the Rockies and Red Sox in extra innings getting pissed off that Blackman's striking out with the bases loaded. But here we are. And we're right up against the next version, the last one of the season, obviously, of the Subway Series, Yankees and Mets. Two games tonight, tomorrow night. And both of them coming off of important series win, season-ending, series-ending victories. Paul Rosenberg's got me all messed up. As they split, both teams come off with important wins to split four-game sets for the first series of the All-Star break. And both of these teams right now, as you do get ready for this series, are in important stretches, right? Leading into the trade deadline. We've talked about it. We'll get to more of it here at 888-808-1019. But what I like about both of these wins, and particularly for the Yankees, but also for the Mets, is that, you know, every once in a while, both of these teams are going through, you know, different struggles. The Mets not playing nearly as bad as the Yankees have been, no doubt, but not nearly as good as they were about, you know, 2 weeks ago when they really made this really impressive run to get back into playoff contention. You know, they've lost the first two out of three to Miami. They lost the last game of the first half against Colorado. And the Yankees clearly just needing everything they can get to just get a split against an average, at best, Tampa Bay Rays team. But what happened in these two games is that you saw things you needed to see. You saw players who haven't been performing, and particularly for the Yankees, who we've talked about it. The trade deadline, as I spent yesterday talking about it, can't fix every single issue. It's not plausible. There's so much wrong with this lineup. There's so much wrong with this rotation. There are so many questions in the bullpen even still. As, you know, okay, maybe Hamilton's coming back, Efros is coming back, fine, okay. But there's still so many questions up and down this team and up and down this roster that it's impossible to solve it all. As much as I might still believe in Brian Cashman, I know many of you don't. I don't believe he's capable of transforming an entire team at the deadline, in a deadline where everybody is buying and we don't know who the hell is selling. So you got to look at these guys who need to come around, who need to perform if you want to do anything. And both of these wins, a 6-4 victory for the Mets where they held on for dear life at the end, or a convincing 9-1 victory for the New York Yankees, had a lot of signs you'd like to see. And for the Yankees, the question is, how do they follow it up? And these two games against the Mets are critical for both of these teams. But for the Yankees, we saw a win like this a couple weeks ago against Toronto, where they had that explosion of offense. It was the same night that Stroman got all mad and was screaming and was yelling at Gleyber Torres. And it was coming off the benching of Gleyber Torres, and he hits a home run, had a couple of hits. And the offense exploded, and you saw a couple of players do a bunch of different things that made you feel better. And you thought maybe, oof, this team is about to turn a corner. And instead, they went right back into the tank. And this is an important game yesterday, but it's only as important as the next two games against the Mets. And yes, I was impressed with Carlos Rodon. I don't think any Yankee fan who doesn't have faith in him, and to be told, I don't have faith in him. Yesterday was not enough for me to change my opinion on Carlos Rodon. It was an important start for him. It was an important game for the Yankees. You don't want to come out and lose 3 or 4 at home out of the All-Star break after winning 2 out of 3 against Baltimore. We all know how they ended that series against Baltimore before the All-Star break. But you don't want to come out after the All-Star break and come out in the first series at home, lose 3 out of 4 to the lousy, probably selling Tampa Bay Rays. This was an important start for him to start a second half, an important start for the team. And for the first time in what feels like, I don't know, 2 months, Carlos Rodon not only answered that question, not only came out and pitched well, but I would argue he might have pitched the best game he's pitched all year, whether it was 10 strikeouts, which was a season high, but it was just more of the location. He got more swings and misses on sliders than I ever remember. He got more strikeouts looking than I ever remember. He looked more confident. At-bats were done within three or four pitches. There weren't these long at-bats where he struggles to put guys away. The fastball wasn't getting nearly hit as hard as it's been hit over the last six starts. It was an impressive, important performance from Carlos Rodon, and you're hoping that it continues, but still not enough to answer. He's got to follow it up with his next start. I'm still not all of a sudden, oh, Carlos Rodon is fixed. Not by any means. And the same thing goes for a lot of the guys in the lineup who, sure, Volpe's had a nice series here against Tampa Bay. He comes through with the first game of the series with the double down the line. He hits his first home run since the beginning of May in this game yesterday. I think, you know, he had a nice set. I think he had seven hits in the series or whatever it was. He came through and had a nice series. You saw LeMahieu come through and actually hit the ball with authority. Forget everything else. Forget the strikeouts. Forget everything from LeMahieu. I'm just glad that he, I know it's only the first row at Yankee Stadium. I know it's not the short porch, but still, a first row home run, but finally a good swing that resulted in the ball being driven. We haven't seen that all year. Not all year. And I know that's not LeMahieu's game, and we don't necessarily need to rely on LeMahieu's power prowess. You're not looking for home runs necessarily out of LeMahieu. Same thing with Jeff McNeil, who's hit three home runs in this series. You're not looking for home runs. You're just looking for the idea, certainly from LeMahieu, that he still has some pop in his bat, that he could still put a good swing and put a charge into the baseball. We haven't seen it all year. Even at the brief moments where he's had a two-hit game or something, it's been typical DJ LeMahieu at bats where he's jammed and, you know, bloops one over the second baseman's head, or he takes an outside fastball and hits it through the first second base hole. Like, that's what we've seen from DJ LeMahieu, even at his few glimpses of possibly looking like himself. This was the first time we've seen him drive a baseball. That's important. That's important. And I'm not sure how much faith they still have in DJ. I'm not sure what gets fixed at the deadline and what DJ's role would be on this team, but we don't know. And moving forward, it's important that he did what he did. It's important Volpe had a good series. It's important Wells has, you know, another three hits in this game. Hits a home run. Looks like he's driving the baseball. The other day, he threw two runners out on the base path and picked one off. We haven't seen that from the Yankees all year. So yesterday and you know, was particularly one of those wins. And then obviously Soto, right? Soto with the two home runs. But we expect that from Soto. He's just, you know, a great player. And we can have the Soto conversation if we'd like, and his connection to the fan base and his free agency and the talk of the two hitters, which we'll get into all show, I'm sure. The only two good hitters and Severino's comments and all that, we'll get into it. But that game, you don't need to see two home runs from Juan Soto. You don't need to see a great series against Tampa Bay from Juan Soto to have faith that he'll do that against the Mets, or he'll do that against the Red Sox, or he'll do that in the next upcoming big game or big series. But you need to see Volpe give you something. Verdugo gets a hit in this game. You're still waiting for him, and Torres didn't play in this game. You're still waiting for him. But those are the three players in particular that I've been going on and on about that I don't know how you overcome them being awful. I don't think, I heard Keith a lot in his show, I don't think trading Gleyber Torres is really something the Yankees are looking towards. I just don't. Well, maybe I'll see. We'll see. I don't know what his value is. I don't think it's something they're interested in. I don't think he'll be a Yankee next year. But I still think they look at him, and if you look at Gleyber's numbers over his last 15 games, he's hitting .280. If you look over his last seven games, he's hitting .290. No power whatsoever other than that home run I mentioned against Toronto. I mean, no real pop or power. But at least it's been better than the dismal baseball and horrendous baseball we've seen over the first half of the year. And yes, mistakes come in the field and mistakes come in the base paths. But I just don't know if they can get a third baseman, a second baseman, a starting pitcher, a reliever. Like, it's all too much to ask. And if they're going to look at Gleyber Torres, who's been hitting .280 over his last 15 games, who had an 800 OPS last year, that might be a position where they just, hey, let's see if Gleyber can do anything in the second half. And if not, we always have Cabrera, who's swinging the bat better. But Gleyber, Verdugo, and Volpe need to be better. And in this win yesterday, leading into an important stretch, you've got to follow this win up. That's the immediate thing for me watching all this. Because, again, we saw it in Toronto. We saw a game where Gleyber hits the home run and has a couple of hits. We saw, you know, the fire, the intensity finally bleeding through. They scored a ton of runs in that game. I think it was like 16 runs. Everyone got hits up and down the lineup. And we saw the same thing yesterday in a very impressive, clean, easy, comfortable 9-1 win. That means absolutely nothing if heading into this Subway Series with arguably, almost inarguably, the two best pitchers on this staff in Luis Gil and Gerrit Cole follow this win up with dismal performances. If the offense goes back into the tank and they're shut down by lefties yet again, then this win means nothing. You have to build on these things. You have to see Volpe continue this. You need to see Wells continue this. You like to see a couple more hits from DJ if he plays in the series, what they do with, because I think you got to keep Cabrera in the lineup. He's had good at bats. So you've got Torres and LeMahieu kind of up in the air right now. I'm expecting Cabrera to continue to be in there, whether at second or third, and give these guys multiple days off or, you know, flip-flopping back and forth, because that's how good Cabrera's been over the last handful of days. And it's just, you need good at-bats, but you need these things to continue. And the same thing for the Mets. You saw, yes, in the first inning, we talked about Pete Alonso a lot yesterday. Pete Alonso comes up in the first inning, hits into a double play, and ruins a rally, and you're like, oh my God, here we go again. And he's been brutal for them, but he comes through with two hits. J.D. Martinez, who's been really slumping, comes through with a couple of hits. You'd like to see him turn around. And then, of course, Jeff McNeil. Now, the question with Jeff McNeil is, I don't know how to view the home runs. It's nice to have three home runs in a series. It's nice to see happy Jeff McNeil, as Lindor was talking about. And, again, like Rodon, I'm not sold on now Jeff McNeil coming out of this, or Jeff McNeil being a bat for them the rest of the way. I would be more impressed. Now he's had some hits. I think he had seven hits in the series as well. So it's three home runs. It's a couple of, it's more hits. So, I mean, he's been better, but I'd like to see two hits the other way. I'd like to see Jeff McNeil look like Jeff McNeil. For me, and I know this is probably unfair, Jeff McNeil hitting three home runs in a series seems fluky to me. So yes, it's important. He hits a big home run in this game that changes the game, the three-run bomb. He's had three home runs in this series. You're looking to have anybody drive the baseball. But when I look at Jeff McNeil, I'm not looking to have him drive the baseball. It seems fluky to me. I want to see good at-bats consistently. I want to see line drives all over the place. I want to see that famous McNeil bat control where he takes an outside pitch and slaps it the other way, or he pulls an inside pitch down the line. I don't need to see home runs from him. And honestly, I don't put too much stock in them. But these are the kind of at-bats, these are the kind of games that you need. Diaz, at the end of the game, comes through shaky, right? That he gets the first out of the inning, then he walks a guy on four pitches. Like, he just looks shaky, but yet still able to get out of it, still able to make good pitches to the middle of that lineup and get Berger to pop out at the end of the game. You got two hits from Bader, who's been ice cold lately. So you're starting to see some things turn around, even from a team that's playing much better than the Yankees, winning some games. But how important of a stretch is this as we talk about the deadline? For the Yankees, we know what they're doing. For the Mets, I think the idea of selling is off the table, and I think most likely everybody pretty much expects the Mets to buy, but at what level? And I'll tell you, if they are tied at the end of these, you know, by the end of this week, when it's July 30th and it's time for Stearns to make a decision, if they're a half a game out, if they're tied with two other teams for the final wild card spot, I don't know what kind of decision or kind of impetus he would put on prospects, or, you know, how much he'd really be willing to go and improve this team as opposed to just finding pieces off the scrap heap who are just better than the Mets currently have. But if they're two games back of Atlanta, if they go on a hot stretch here, beat the Yankees for two, and continue to play, you know, and win six of these next seven or eight games, and suddenly now they're in a position where they're two games back of Atlanta for the top wild card, does that influence any decisions? A team that's been super vocal about adding, a team that's been super vocal about how good they think they are. This is an important two games. This is at Yankee Stadium. It's not as bad. The Yankees are playing, you know, slightly better than they played the last time they faced the Mets. It's at home. The lineup has kind of come alive a little bit. Soto and Judge are both going well at the same time. Plus, you've seen Volpe have his best series in the last 2 months easy. They're facing the Yankees' two best starting pitchers, and that was the calling card of this hot offense for about a month, demolishing starting pitching. and that's kind of cooled off a little bit. Can they bounce back and take care of the two best Yankee starters, the two best filthiest stuff, the guys who throw 99 miles an hour and strike people out? How does this Met offense show up for these two games? So these two games for both of these teams at this particular moment with the trade deadline looming, for the Mets, is there a level of baseball they can play that would reemphasize exactly what level they should be out there adding? And for the Yankees, can they rebound and actually build some momentum off a game where it seemed like all the boxes were checked? That's what I'm looking for. Yeah, sure, they checked all the boxes. Great, for a day. 2 days ago, it was disgusting. A day before that, it was just as bad. So, yes, it was an impressive win. Yes, Volpe had a couple of hits, including a home run. Yes, you saw life from DJ LeMahieu. Yes, Carlos Rodon gave you his best start in forever and possibly his best start of the season. And maybe in a Yankee uniform. That's how impressed I was with Carlos Rodon yesterday. But all of it is meaningless if they can't continue, if they continue to do what they've done for the last 6 weeks and squander opportunity after opportunity and be unable to put together win after win. They have to build something. And much like the last time they met, I talked about how the Mets had an opportunity to really send the Yankees into a tailspin. And that's exactly what they did. Now I look at this, both of these teams in critical spots. But again, for me, as a Yankee fan, I'll be honest with you, as a Yankee fan, my view of it is the Mets have an opportunity here to beat the Yankees' two best pitchers who've been trending in the right direction, both of them, Luis Gil and obviously Gerrit Cole off his last two starts. A team that just managed to, you know, split a series against Tampa, have arguably their most complete two wins of the year in both of those games, clean, crisp games, pitched well, offense came alive. Offense up and down this pitiful lineup as they head into play the Mets, who are publicly mocking them for only having two good hitters. If the Mets come into Yankee Stadium and take both of these games and sweep the season series and eliminate any goodwill that was built yesterday from Rodon and up and down this lineup, I don't know where the Yankees go from here until they get to the deadline. And even then, how much can they actually replace? How much can they actually overcome? How many different guys can they hide, get rid of, jettison? How many different opportunities will they have at a deadline that, honestly, I don't think anybody I've heard from has a good read on? And it's going to be impossible to try and figure out who's in for what, how many teams are selling, how many teams are buying, how many teams are urgent, how many teams are willing to trade away their best prospects. Because, honestly, if you look at the Dodgers out there willing to, you know, trade for all kinds of things, they have more options than probably both the Mets or Yankees, at least more than the Mets are willing to give. You look at Baltimore, who desperately needs a starting pitcher and could give you a plethora of viable, top-notch, top-quality prospects in the farm system that are way more close to Major League ready than anything the Yankees have. This is going to be an extremely important trade deadline that, honestly, I don't know where they stand on either of these teams. So right now, the players that are here are imperative. And the idea that both of these teams check boxes on important wins to avoid disastrous losses and avoid disastrous series losses, they head into these two games meeting heads up at Yankee Stadium trying to impact the other one, where either team could come away smelling like roses, or could be stumbling into what needs to be a game-changing trade deadline.